Good morning, everybody. Great to see you all here. It is family service, all-age service today. So we will have a craft partway through for the children related to what we're going to be talking about. And we'll tell you when to go out, but Jazz is in charge of that today. It's a nice craft. So, that's where we are. We are starting this morning. We're going to carry on in our theme of Philippians. For the adults, you'll know that we're going through Philippians. We're going to carry on doing that all together this morning. So to set the scene for the service, I'm going to ask Mary, where is Mary? Mary, to come and bring us the Bible reading right at the start. So a bit radical this morning, but the whole service is going to, you've moved. I'm looking over that side, Mary. I'm confused. You don't do this. Good idea. Right. Read to us. She's going to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Okay, that's where we are. We're doing this right at the start because you will see from the songs that most of the songs that we're going to sing, and certainly all the stuff that we're going to do the rest of the service flows from this. So it seems like a good idea to set the scene. Mary, God bless you. Thank you.
Of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Fantastic. Right, music team, come and join us. We're going to sing two songs as we start this morning. The first one, I Cast My Mind to Calvary, takes us back to think of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But it ends up taking us to think of him coming again and being called and caught up with him in the glory in heaven. So that's the connection on this one. Then please remain standing. We're going to have a short prayer, and then we're going to sing a second song, There Is a Higher Throne.
Jesus bled and died for me.
morning for your wonderful grace, your wonderful love. We thank you for Calvary, where Jesus died for us. We thank you for Easter Sunday, when he rose again for us, dealing with our sin once and for all, dealing with the sin of everyone who would come to him, everyone who would bow the knee. We thank you for this glorious past, but we thank you this morning, as we're going to be thinking about the heaven, about the future, about the hope, about the goal and the prize that we have. Father, thank you for all that you are. Would you receive our worship? Would you receive our praise and our honor? Would you take the glory for all of these things? And would you please, I pray, thrill the hearts of the youngest to the oldest here this morning with yourself and all that we have in Jesus. We worship and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a higher throne and all. Thank you.
Okay, please take your seats. We are going to start this morning, while we're all in together, we're going to think about winning the prize. So children need to think about winning the prize. Grown-ups, we're thinking about winning the prize. It's said in the Bible reading that Mary read, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. And I sent out a little message on WhatsApp that some of you will have seen this week, asking if any of you have ever won an award or got a certificate or won a prize. And I said, if you have, do you want to bring it along to show us this morning? So I'm wondering who's brought along something to show us. It could be a grown-up or it could be a child. I really don't mind. I'll start over this side with Arthur. He's got a whole bundle full. What have you got here, Arthur? What was this one for? For football, very good. Well done. And your sister Polly's got one as well. Polly was awarded Star of the Week, hey? Yeah. And it says, Polly, because you have read your reading book so well this week, you took lots of care with your fantastic bear hunt story map. Well done. Great stuff. Who else has got one? Somebody over here got one? Well, oh, and mummy's got one as well.
It's a bit old.
It's a bit, yeah, I know. Well, they all get a bit old after a while, don't they? Tennis. Yeah. Oh, she's got tennis. League Four winners. Congratulations. What do we got? Ted. It's a big chunky ribbon on there. St. James's Place. What is this one for? Pantathlon
Challenge.
Right, and what did you have to do for that?
It was like loads of different... sporting
events. Yep, brilliant. Loads of sporting events. So like pentathlon, but that's a pantathlon he got. Right, I'm going to come over. Did I miss anybody else over here while I'm here? Any adults over this side, bring anything along with you, or children down here. Anybody bring anything along with them this morning? Adrian. I'll read it because I haven't got the mic for you. The company of, I wanted to say watermelon men, but it doesn't. It says watermen and lighter men of the River Thames. Sounds grand, doesn't it? In recognition of a significant contribution to rowing through participation in the Great River Race, the courtmaster, oh, crumbs, this goes on, doesn't it? The company of watermen and lighter men of the River Thames award the certificate to Adrian Marfley of the Crab Crew. I don't know what, I'm sure that doesn't mean crab. On the 10th day of September, that's a very grand certificate, isn't it? Well done. Yeah. Fantastic. Was there anything else? Did anybody else bring anything? I don't want to leave people out. It's the one time I get a chance to show everybody my war medal. You joke. It's a real bona fide war medal, this is, except it's not mine. I think this was to Major Gerald Grange, and I'll tell you another time how I came by that. It does give me a chance just to bring out my only medal, my only trophy I ever won, one of my football ones from many, many years ago. I know the feeling, so I know it even better. So we'll put that down back on there. Anyway, so just thinking about prizes, and Martin, if we can pop the PowerPoint up on here... We got some things on here, hopefully. Is it going to come? Did it work? We were faffing around before the service, realizing that the PowerPoint wasn't where it should have been. So hopefully it is now. If it's not going to come up, Martin, don't worry. Well, do, because I do need it later on, but if this one... Right, so I just put some pictures of some people on here. I don't know how many of you followed a Bake Off this year. No, one or two. Okay, well, we like the Bake Off, and so we got the lady that won it with Paul Hollingwood, and we got some people on here we know, haven't we? So we've got Jasmine and Summer in the middle there, Liam down the bottom there. They've done really well this year, and I know some others of you, and I apologise for not getting all your things, but it was just what I could get off Facebook. Slimmer in the World, I put that one on there because I know that you know, that's not the kind of stuff that people tend to talk about, but getting a Slimmer of the Week thing for some people, I'll be careful what I'm saying here. Anyway, Slimmer of the Week, that can be quite an achievement. Don't worry about who it says. It's nobody that you know if you're trying to read who got Slimmer of the Week. It certainly wasn't me. And top one, I know lots of you play music and playing and practicing for music at the moment. And so probably quite a few of us got those kind of the certificates for music and those kind of things. So most of us remember sports day when we were back at school. Some of you are still at school and you're probably doing school sports. And it used to be when I was there, hey, back in the day, lad, when I was at school, it was only the winners or the seconds or the thirds that got prizes. But these days, it's kind of like the thing is that everybody who participates gets a prize, which is, that's actually something good. We'll talk about that as we go through this morning. The thing with prizes is it, if you know there's a prize that you're going to win, it kind of helps you try a little bit harder. Anybody find that? If you know there's a prize, you're going to get something at the end of something, you just try a little bit harder. Sometimes when you feel like giving up, mum or dad or husband or wife will say, no, come on, keep going, because what's going to happen? Have you noticed how Pastor Paul, who's not here today, he's on holiday this morning, Pastor Paul, I've noticed that Pastor Paul likes to give away sweets. And I think that's like little prizes to encourage us to keep going. I mean, I don't do prizes like that, really. Well, I'm not mean, but he just thinks of these things. He's so good at all of that. The Bible talks about being a Christian, and it says it's like we're in a race. It says following Jesus is like being in a race, and the prize at the end of the race is getting into heaven. And you know what I said about school sports day? That a lot of school sports, it's the taking part that counts. It's not necessarily coming first. The good news about the Christian stuff is that it's the taking part that counts. It's not about being the best. It's if you're in the race, if you are a follower of Jesus, you will get into heaven at the end. I think that's fantastic. I love that. You know, and the Bible talks a lot about heaven. It talks a lot about being with Jesus at the end. I did some research this week, and the prize, heaven, and all its different words, for you grown-ups, do you know, it's mentioned 700 times in the Bible. 700 times. There are over 300 verses in the New Testament that talk about Jesus coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take those of us who've been his followers to be with him and live with him in his new heaven and the new earth. So this is what we've got. It's heaven is going to be such a wonderful place when Jesus comes back and we are living with him. It's going to be so different to all that we know. And you may have noticed our board on here this morning. And I thought, well, just think about heaven for a little while. And think about what will be in heaven and what won't be in heaven. I want you to take part with this as well. So put your thinking caps on. Children, grown-ups, we could do this together. Things to start with that won't be in heaven. Things that will be out of heaven. And we're going to just make a list of things on here. What colour shall I use? Let's do purple. Right, Samuel to start with. No pain. That is great, isn't it? Hallelujah. For those of you who live with pain, and some of you live with it constantly, it's not going to be there. You imagine that. For all and ever and always, no more pain. No more migraines. Amen? Yeah. No more migraines. No more knee aches. Some of you got to a certain age, you know, where you kind of get down. No more leg aches, no more feet aches, no more headaches, no more pain at all. Wonderful. Ted? Badness. No more badness. Sadness. He said sadness. Okay. Well, we'll do badness because that was on my list. And we can do nothing that's going to make us sad. Lots of things make us sad, don't they? We nothing ever, 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 that's going to make you sad. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about that? There's some of you, I'll come to you, don't keep your hands up. Keep them up, I will ask you. Some of you live with sadness in your life. And it will never go. People that you've lost, things that have happened, and it will never go in this life, but it will in heaven. It'll have gone. There'll be no more. Can't imagine what that will be like, can you? No more sadness. No more badness. Rory. Angriness. No more anger. No more getting cross. Not only will we not get cross, there won't be anything to make us cross. Hands up if you never get cross. All right, that's all of us. Let's just reinforce that one. Hands up if you do sometimes get cross. All right, that is all of us. Do you know what? When we get to heaven, we're never going to get cross again. And do you find when you get cross, you do things that you don't like? You say things that you don't really want to say, and you think, oh, why did I say that afterwards? It's going to be nothing that makes us angry. It's going to be wonderful. Caleb? Fearness. No fear. Yeah. So fear, things that make us afraid. We'll all have those things at some time in our lives. Excellent answers coming out here. Arthur?
Sin.
Did you say? Yeah, that kind of covers everything, doesn't it? No more sin. And sin is when we do things that God doesn't like. All of those things. And that hurt God, that make God sad. So we're not going to do that. And something else along with sin. I wonder, does somebody else's mind a word beginning with T? Temptation was what came to my mind. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure I'm not the only one that struggles with being tempted to do things that are wrong, to think things or say things that are not right. Tell lies or get tempted to tell a lie because it will get us out of trouble. Tempted to gloss things up to make it better than it really is. Yeah, tempted to do all sorts of things. Anybody else? Wayne? War. Ah, praise God, no more war. No more fighting. At home, countries, all of that kind of stuff. Fantastic. Samuel? Jealousy. Ah, good one. Can you imagine life without those things? Does it make you start to look forward to heaven? Now, let's just think for a moment the things that will be in heaven, because in a way, that's a little bit more difficult, and we might not get so many things on here. We know what's not going to be there, but what will be in heaven? Let's have a think. Arthur? God's going to be... Ah, fantastic. God is going to be in heaven. And if God is there, that makes everything good. And right, God is going to be there. We'll see him. Adults, come on, join in with this one. Help the children. They're thinking hard on this one. Let's have an adult. Come on. Peter. New bodies. Amen. That looks a bit like new body, doesn't it? New body. I can't do bodies because it's not space, because it's spelled differently. So new body, that is, okay. Just cross that bit out. A new body, which will replace all of those things. It won't get old. Amen? You're not going to get old. You're not going to find, oh, I can't do that anymore. Your body is going to keep up with your mind. I'm, you know, some of us are at that age where your mind is the same, but the body doesn't work quite as well. Just those of you who aren't there yet, enjoy it. It will come. You feel 21, you feel 18, you feel 25, and you try and do something and you realize you can't quite do it. Hey, and in heaven, we're always going to be the perfect age. There'll never be anything that we can't do that we need to do. Hallelujah, yes. Okay, what else on here? I'm just going to look for a few more adults. Kevin, joy. Joy and happiness all the time, unbroken, unending, forever. Oh, Wayne, loved ones. Yeah. If I'm going to put a caveat in there, if they love Jesus, we know that. That's why we need to pray for our loved ones that don't know Jesus. We need to pray for them that they will be there, that we will have that reunion. Jesus says, if they love Jesus, we will see them again because they're going to come back with him when he comes. So, yeah, that's a great thing. Right, let's go down to the children. Ted. Love all the time. Cheryl. Good one. C-O-N-T-E-N. Contentment. That's going to be a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just being happy with what you've got and what you are. Wonderful. Let's take a couple more. Diane, worship. Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't think we're going to be in heaven sitting on a cloud with a harp. Thank goodness, because that kind of doesn't do it for me. But Jan, holiness. Oh, good. Who knows what holiness means? Tell us what it means, Jan. It means purity, doesn't it? It means what is good. Yeah. So everything in heaven's going to be good. I saw somebody else. Jeff. Singing. Well, yeah, we can put worship. Yeah, because worship's not just about singing, is it? Okay. Right. Jazz. Food. Good food. Yeah, I think there is. Bible doesn't say much about that, but I think it's going to be there. Right, guys, we could carry on for ages. Could somebody, I don't know if it's going to come up on the screen. Let's click this on. There we go. Look, there's a summary verse. I hope just going through these things kind of whets our appetite for heaven. The prize. And the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So the best thought that we can have doesn't even begin to touch how wonderful it's going to be. Question, will you be there? Will you be there? Who wouldn't want to be there? Is a question, isn't it? Who wouldn't want to be in a wonderful place like we've described? The truth is, the Bible says that not everyone will be there. It will be those who love and follow Jesus. So children, it's why it's really important for you to learn and understand and start to follow Jesus while you're still young. Tell him that you're sorry for the things that you've done wrong and you want him to forgive you so that you will be with him in heaven. Because the Bible says there's heaven, which we talked about today. It also talks about another place, which is horrible. Who knows that the horrible place? Arthur? Yeah, it talks about hell, which it describes in horrible terms. And everything that's in heaven won't be in hell. And those are the things that will be in hell. So this morning, let's look at our own hearts and think, where do we want to go? Because we get to heaven by following Jesus, asking him to forgive us, and starting to follow him, becoming in the right. Peter. Well, we got God. We'll put him in. Yeah, don't want it rattling you. Of course he's going to be there. and he'll be the one that we love and we worship. And he's going to be the center of it all. So that question, are we in or are we out? I want you to think about that one when you go out for your craft in a few moments' time. But before we do that, and we're just going to learn a little memory verse, a little verse, but we're going to sing, first of all, on the video, hopefully, song that you love in Sunday school, Hokey Cokey, Hokey Pokey Jesus. Who wants to come and do some actions with me? Come on, come and, well, with me. Who wants to come and do some actions? Come and do some actions. Here we come. Yeah, come on. Anybody else want to come and do them? Try not to fall over as you do. Right, let's stand up. Get ready. Here we go. Show us how it's done, boys. You're going to do it in a circle. You can come as well, Luke, if you want.
Put your right hand in, you put your right hand out. Put your right hand in and you shake it all about. You give your heart to Jesus and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Put your left hand in, you put your left hand out. Put your left hand in and you shake it all about. You give your heart to Jesus and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. You put your right foot in and you shake it all about. You give your heart to Jesus and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your left foot in, your left foot out. You put your left foot in and you shake it all about. You give your heart to Jesus and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. You put your head in, you put your head out. You put your head in and you shake it all about. You give your heart to Jesus and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your whole self in, you put your whole self out. You put your whole self in and you shake it all about. You give your heart to Jesus and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Everybody, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. And that's what it's all about.
Well done, boys. Thank you so much. Right, very quickly, because time is shifted on so quickly. We're going to do a little, four bags of balloons. There are, which make up a memory verse. So children, we're going to do a little competition. I need one team over this side, one team over this side. And so I could do with, ideally, 20 people, 10 on this team and 10 on that team. But so children come out, grown-ups. We're going to need some grown-ups to help as well. Are there any grown-ups that will help on this at all? Don't be shy. Mark, right, team, are we all going to come? I'll tell you what, let's have children on one team, adults on another team. Yeah. Who's going to help Mark? How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We need 3 more on this side. You're here. Yeah, I've got you. How could we forget you? 3 adults to help on this team. And we need another 9 adults on this one. Who's going to come over here? Who's going to help? Are we going to help? Come on, Wayne. Anybody going to help on this one? Good, good, good. Right. Right. So on each balloon is a word. And you've got to get them in the right order. You've got to work it out. But somebody, some grown-up, some nice grown-up is going to have a look at, here's a clue, Philippians 3, verse 14, to help you get them in the right order. Wait for it. Have you got 10? If you haven't, you can have 2 in each balloon, 2 in each hand or something. You'll work it out, you're grown-ups, okay? There you go. Right, Philippians 3:14, you'll find it. Ready, steady, go. Don't pop the balloons, whatever you do. That won't work. Undo your bag. Rip your bag open. There you go. That's it. So give each person a balloon. Well done, Annie Rose. You got to... Yeah, I'm not going to help you guys. These ones, well done, Annie Rose. They're still getting the balloons out over here. Don't burst the balloons. Don't burst the balloons. Ah! Let's rip it. Rip it. There we go. There we go. Towards. You have that one. I press on to win the goal. Come on, children. Don't let the adults win. They've nearly done it. Come on. Come on. You can do this. I is the first word. I. Annie Rose. No. Ivy, pick that one up. That's it. You come and stand over this side. I press. Where's who's got press? Who's got the word press? That one. Give that one to Polly. That's a prize. That's going to come over here. You stand there. No, they haven't done it yet. I'm sure it's wrong. Come on. I press on towards. Towards. Who's got towards? Towards comes next. The goal. The goal to win the prize. The goes over that side and win. How are we doing? Have you really done it? I don't believe that you can have done it yet. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Yeah, all right. How are we doing over this side? Well done. Well done. Fantastic. Great. Let's just read that all together, shall we? Let's read it all together. Well done, children. You did it. You did it. Let's do it. Let's read it together. I press on towards the goal to the prize. That's it. Philippians 3, verse 14. Let's read it for the children's one over here as well. Hold your balloons up so the grown-ups can see with the words facing. Otherwise, that's really difficult. Like, I got muddled up then. Right. Here we go. We know what we're doing. Let's do it all together. Encourage them. I press on towards the prize to win the goal. Oh, man. Prize and goal. Turn round. Change over places. To win the... You two. That's it. Yes. Good. Right. Let's do it again. Hold them up so we can see the words. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Philippians 3, verse 14. Big round of applause for all of them. Great stuff. Leave the balloons up here because you'll only, don't let the grown-ups have the balloons. They'll be playing with them all service. Leave them up here. You can come and get one afterwards. Thank you, babe. You longing to do that, weren't you? Right. We're going to pray and then it'll be time for creche. And the children go out and do their craft with Jazz and her team this morning. Let's just, that's a bit of excitement. Let's just quieten ourselves down. Things to pray for. Lord Jesus, we thank you for heaven. We thank you that you've made a way for us to go there, to be with you for all eternity. And there will be none of the bad stuff. It's going to be beautiful and wonderful and perfect all the time, forever. Thank you that you died on the cross and you came back to life so that we could be forgiven to be with you. We love you for that. Would you help us to run with all our might towards the prize, to get there and not give up? And Father, this morning, I just want to pray for one or two things. We pray for the coffee shop as it opens tomorrow for Becca and Andrea and others who will be involved with that. We pray that there will be lots of people that come along. We pray that through it, that lots of people will come to know you, get to know about you and come to know you. We do want to pray practically that everything will work well. Machines will work for Becca and Andrea as they make the coffees, that they won't get flapped up or anything when people are waiting. We thank you for them and we pray that everything will go well and it will be a real asset to this village. I want to pray for Michael Holmes this morning. Please be with him, Lord, as he gets weaker and weaker. Draw near. May he know your comfort as well. And others connected to us, we think of Marina's fiancé, Anthony, and ask that you'll put your touch on him and restore him fully, we pray, and help Marina to settle into life up in Leicester. And others that are part of our fellowship this morning, Father, our church family, your family here, people that are sad, people that are fearful, people that are wondering what the future holds because of for all kinds of reasons, those who are concerned for their families, for their children, for their parents, we lift them up and ask that we would know your presence, the help of the Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us. Lord, bless the children now as they go to their craft. And as the rest of us stay in here, would you speak to us again through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, children, if you want to go to craft, if the little ones want to go to creche, there's a creche, but otherwise go with Jazz and Emma and Lisa and Andrea. There's some great crafts, there's some colouring, there's some fun stuff. If you're done, you can come back in, but okay. So the rest of us, while we're in here, having thought just now about winning the prize, about the prize itself, and think about heaven, what I want to do in the few minutes that we've got left is just think about the actual running the race, to think about the race itself. We've thought about the goal, but I want us to think about how we get there. Just a reminder of what the passage says. Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on to win the goal, or toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul here kind of exposes, shares with us how he lives as a follower of Jesus. The passion that he has, the determination that he has, it's a great role model for us. So what is the first thing that he says? The first thing he says is forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. That's the first little phrase. Martin, is the PowerPoint still there? If it is, right. That's a very, you may or may not know, that's actually a very famous picture of Roger Bannister and a New Zealand runner called John Landy. They were in, I think it was the Commonwealth Games in 1954. And they Roger Bannister, I think, had just broken the four-minute mile. John Landy was his great rival. And this race was set up as a duel between these two people. And this is on the what would be known as the fourth bend as they come into the finishing straight. And you can see John Landy is the guy with the black hair and the black shorts. Can you see what he's doing? He's looking over his shoulder. And as he does, Roger Bannister, closest to us, sweeps past him on the other way. So whilst he's looking, John Landy's looking that way, Roger Bannister comes up that way. And in that moment, the race was lost because he'd got the momentum. He was looking back. He was checking over his shoulder to see where Roger Bannister was. And he lost the momentum. Actually, John Landy, when he was interviewed afterwards, said that he'd lost the race a lot earlier than that. He said as he went down the back straight on the fourth lap of the race, he looked over his shoulder at that point and saw that Roger Bannister was just behind him. And he said, when I realized that Roger Bannister was still there on the fourth lap, I hadn't been able to run him out of the race. I knew then that I'd lost the race. He knew that Roger Bannister was a faster sprinter, and he'd got to sort of put daylight between him, between the two of them. Before that point, that's why he was looking over his shoulder. He knew by looking over his shoulder. He was concerned with what was behind him. Some of you have done athletics. Peter was telling me He didn't bring it. If I was to say to you, who'd got a half marathon award, you wouldn't. You would probably, those of you who've known Peter. He did a half marathon, you know. Last week. No, it wasn't last week. So Peter's done a bit of running. Some of others of you have done some running. You will know the idea is you keep your eyes looking forward. You can't look backwards. And Paul says here, in the Christian life, as a race, don't look back. If you're looking back, you're worried about something. If you're looking back, you're not concerned primarily with the prize. You're living in fear. What's coming? Where are they? And you'll tense up because you'll be concerned. As people, we can be concerned about looking over our shoulder. We can be fearful of what's the past instead of looking forward. You know, Christians, the past has gone. The past has been forgiven. Sometimes we live with our minds in the past, not realizing that the sins which we committed, and we regret them rightly so, those sins have been forgiven by Jesus. We do not have to keep looking back at them. If you've taken them to Him, confessed them, they are done. They're past. Try not to think about them too much. There's a time in the Bible, Lot's wife. Some of you remember Lot's wife? She was escaping from a city that was going to be destroyed. And God said, don't look, or the angel said, don't look back. And she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Just a lesson about not looking back, keeping focused on what is to come. Said of Jesus, because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Because of the joy, He kept His eyes looking forward. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back at what you've left. Keep your eyes fixed on if you want to aim and go for that prize, to that common, that goal at the end. Right, so here's the second thing. I want to think about forgetting what is behind, straining to what is ahead, he says. So forget behind, but keep looking ahead. That picture you can't see, so I've blown it up a little bit so you can see their faces. Three guys there. Usain Bolt. I'm not sure who the other guys are, but you can see Bolt is in the foreground. Look at the expression on their faces. The intensity. Every muscle. Look at the arms. Look at the muscles. Everything is in here. They're pressing on. It's very different from this chap, Durando Pietri. Last night, there was a question from the 1908 Olympics. I'm going to show you a little clip of the marathon in which Durando Pietri ran in 1908. So it's not good quality.
The race that year began some 26 miles or 42 kilometres outside London in the grounds of Windsor Castle. The athletes were to run a total of 26 miles and 385 yards, the extra yardage being added so that the runners would finish in London's White City Stadium in front of the Royal Box. They witnessed a dramatic finish with the now famous Durando Pietri incident. The distressed Italians staggered into the stadium in first place, but collapsed so many times that officials, concerned for his well-being, rushed to his rescue and helped him to the line. The help, thought to be necessary at the time, was to cost the luckless Italian the title. Second-placed American John Hayes complained to officials, and his appeal was upheld.
Durando Pietri, at 24 miles, 26 miles the whole race, at 24 miles, was way ahead of the American guy. And his race was undone. Because somebody held out to him. He was so convinced he was going to win. He's so far ahead. Somebody held out a glass of champagne. And he paused long enough to take the champagne, ran along drinking the champagne. So confident was he. And of course, it messed him up. And so he runs into the stadium, partly because he'd run too fast and he hadn't paced himself, but the champagne was the thing that did it. He forgot about the prize and he just started to enjoy the moment too much. And by the time he got in there, he was completely disorientated. He actually started to run the wrong way round the track. And so you could see on there, if you could pick him out, because it's a really dusty kind of film, but they had to shepherd him round and say, look, it's this way. And then he starts to collapse there, picking him up and pretty much carried him across the line. His undoing was that he forgot to keep going and he paused on the way. We talked about the prize, but the emphasis in this little phrase is the effort that we put into our race. I want to encourage us this morning, those of us who are followers of Jesus, to put everything into it. That's what he says. He says, this was the great Apostle Paul. If anybody could take the foot off the gas, if anybody could kind of coast, you might think it would be Paul. The amazing things that he knew. The Apostle Paul said, I strain, I press on, I put everything into this race. If he needed to do that, then how much more do we? It can't be a take it or leave it thing for us. Our heart and soul has got to go into our race. You know what it's like if you've ever striven to achieve a goal. If you're on Slimming World or whatever it is, or if you're practicing for music, or if you're studying for a business exam, or you put everything into it. You can't ease off. You've got to keep going. And the Christian race is not for wimps. The Christian race is not a take it or leave it thing. It demands our best attention, our best effort. So I want to ask you this morning, how's your pressing on for Jesus? How is your pressing on for Jesus? Are you tempted to ease off? Tempted to take it a little bit easy because of things that are happening? I want to encourage us this morning. I think God's word says if we want to reach the goal, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, if we want to reach the goal to win the prize, we need to push on. We need to put our effort into it. Let's think about the goal. Let's think about the goal. The goal that Paul is pressing on to. They're putting every effort into it. The prize we know you get for reaching the goal. So what is the goal? The goal and the prize are not the same thing. The goal is this. The goal is the finishing line. What is the finishing line? The finishing line is where we receive the prize. The prize is heaven. The prize is living forever with God in his heaven, new heaven and earth. So what's the finish? What are we aiming for? What's our ultimate? Our goal as followers of Jesus is to be like Jesus. Somebody mentioned holiness. Our goal is to become holy. We have been saved. You'll see this everywhere through the New Testament, that we have been called for holiness, called to be like Jesus. It's not to become religious. Excuse me. It's not to, not to start to live in a certain way. It's not to put ourselves under a set of rules. We thought about that last week. Rules and regulations are about religion. And we've not been called to become religious. We're called to become like Jesus. It's about character. What kind of person are we? I press on to the goal. I'm pressing on to become like Jesus. Of course, there are some things that are in place to help us in that, to help us become like Jesus. That's why coming to church is important, because it helps us become like Jesus. Praying, reading our Bible is important because they help us become like Jesus. Meeting with other Christians is important because those things help us become like Jesus. The goal of church, the goal of our meeting like this, the goal of following Jesus is to become like him. There's a word that we use to describe it, and it's the word disciple. And I've got on here, it's a picture of an old Jewish rabbi or a Jewish rabbi with a young student. And the thing with the rabbi was he would choose his students and they would follow him to become like him. Jesus was a rabbi and he called people to follow him. And this is why we're to press on, to become like Jesus. I need to pause for a moment. Ask yourself, are you more like Jesus than you were this time last year? Because that's what life's about as a Christian. It's not a whether we're kicking the boxes and doing things. It's, am I more like Jesus? The last thing that's highlighted here, it says, look, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Let me just say a few words about this calling. God has called us. The followers of the rabbis didn't just turn up and decide to sit at the feet of the rabbi. It wasn't a choice they got to make. It was the rabbi who did the choosing. The rabbi who did the calling. To be chosen or called by the rabbi was a huge privilege. You're a follower of Jesus today? Do you realize the privilege that is yours? We often, and I will encourage you, and I will always encourage people to start to follow Jesus, to choose, to make a decision. But you know what? At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, we can't do that until God has done something in us. He has to make us alive because by nature we're dead. In trespasses and in sin, spiritually dead. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's because what God has done for you. Because God has called you. He chose you and he's called you. It comes down at the end of the day for what Jesus has done for us. Have you thought lately what a huge privilege it is to be a follower of Jesus? You are what you are, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. His wonderful, amazing grace and kindness. He's called us to follow him. He's called us to become like him. He's called us. He's called you, if you're one of his people today, to enjoy all of this and more, to be with him, enjoying what no eye has seen, no heart has, or mind has imagined, no heart has conceived, to be there because of what he's done for you. It's wonderful. It just raises a question. So what if I'm not called? Well, I've got good news for you, because you might be sitting here this morning saying, I don't know that I'm a follower of Jesus. And if it depends on him calling me, how do I know if he's going to call me? How do I know if he wants me to be one of his people? Listen, here's the good news. If you want to be called, you've been called. If you in your heart want to be saved, want to be a follower of Jesus, it's because he's put that desire in your heart. And if you ask him, Jesus, I want to be a follower, would you accept me? I'm repenting, I'm turning from my sin. He will do that because Jesus said, I will never turn anyone away who comes to me. I will never turn anyone away. If you ask him sincerely and genuinely, because you believe that he's the very best and he's the only way to get you into heaven, if you ask him, he will do that. He will forgive your sins. He will put the past behind you and he'll give you that goal, that prize of heaven. What did he say? What was our memory verse? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. Let's keep pressing on. Let's keep pressing on to become like Jesus, to follow him, and to get into and enjoy that prize at the end. God help us. I don't know if the children are anywhere near finishing. Somebody can say they can come in when they're finished, but our music team, come and join us. We're going to sing a song as we finish this morning. If you've got any questions about what we talk about on Sundays, please always feel free to to ask us. We can pop them into life group questions and you can talk about them together. I'm always happy to explain or discuss or help you in any way. I don't have all the answers, but I might just be able to point you to the one that does, to Jesus and the places in the Bible. The song we're going to sing to finish is a song we've started to learn on Sunday evenings. So for some of you, if you're not around Sunday evenings, you won't know this one yet. But if you're around on Sunday evenings, you'll know. And several of you, lots of you have said how much you like this song. It's the hymn of heaven. How I long to breathe the air of heaven where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets. Let's stand up and sing this as we finish this morning. We thank you, Lord, for giving us life beyond the grave. Would you excite us with the thought of heaven? Would you excite us with the prize that you have promised to us as we press on towards the goal to win the prize for which you have called us heavenward? Help us to keep looking forward. Help us to keep our eyes on the prize, as we often say to the children. Lord, would you help us to live like that? Help us to live lives that honor you. Help us to become like you. For that is what you've called us for, that we will be ready and prepared to enjoy that glorious life, eternal life with you in perfection forever and ever. We praise you and we worship you. We glorify you. We give you all the honor and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.